Well, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Chaf Aleph 21. We are picking up on Chaf Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Ze Omer. So still with Kiyum Shtaras. Ze Omer. Ksav Yodi. Uksav Yodo Shel Chaveri. So we'll say, so you have two witnesses show up, and they're coming to go ahead and give edus about their signatures. They're coming to uphold their signatures. So one witness shows up and he says, this is my handwriting, and this is the handwriting of my friend. So he's testifying about his and his fellow witnesses. Excuse me. Sorry. My handwriting and my friend's handwriting as well. And the other witness says the same thing. This is my handwriting, and this is the handwriting of my co-witness. So there was talocha. Hare elu ne'eman. So we'll say they are believed. Because effectively what has occurred, there are two witnesses per signature, right? There's the aide himself who signed, plus his friend. Two witnesses per signature. However, ze omer ksav yodi, v'ze omer zek ksav yodi. But if, let's say, Reuven says, this is my signature, and Shimon says, this is my signature, but what Rabbo say? They do not go ahead and testify about the signature of the other. Then, the Mishnah says, Tzvichin l'tzarefi mohem acher. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, they have to get another person to testify about both signatures. Why? Because according to Rebbe, you always need two witnesses per signature. Two witnesses per signature. This is all for Kiyum Shas. Chum and the Chum say no. They need not bring another party with them, meaning they don't have to enlist the help of another aide. Why? Ela ne'eman adam lomar ze ksav yodi. So we'll say fundamental machlok sin Rabbi Nechacham. So Rabbi holds that in order to uphold any signature, you always need two witnesses. And that is true even if the aide himself is saying, this is my signature, that's not enough. We need someone else ultimately again to attest to the validity of the signature. Chacham say, absolutely not true. The only time perhaps you'll need two witnesses is when it's maybe again to uphold the signature of someone who's not present. But if somebody is able to testify, this is my signature, then lemaisa, again, we believe them without any other testimony. Says the Gemara Kishatimtzi Lomar L'Divrei Rebbe, top of Chaf Aleph, Al Ksav Yodon Hemi'idin, L'Divrei Chachamim, So listen to how the Gemara frames this. This is quite interesting. So what is at the root? What is at the root of the Machlokes in the Chachamim Rebbe? So again, here you have the Chachamim say that you need for Kiyum Shtaras to uphold the signatures, you need two witnesses per signature. You need two witnesses per signature. And according to the Chachamim, everyone's believed about their own signature. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara makes an amazing suggestion. The Gemara says, according to Rebbe, when witnesses show up in Beis Din to go ahead and do Kiyum Shtaros, what they're testifying to is their signature. According to the Chachamim, what they're testifying to is what? Is the transaction recorded in the document. So, Vosa, listen to this. So, ultimately, if they're testifying to the transaction recorded in the document, then Lamaisa, as long as each one certifies his own signature, then you have two witnesses that are certified to the transaction in the document. If, however, like the Chachamim, like Rebbe is saying, that they're coming to certify the signatures, then by definition, what do you need? You need two witnesses per signature. So interesting. The Gemara says, Pshita, okay, like, we're getting all excited about that, but that isn't that kind of obvious that's what they're arguing about. To which the Gemara says, no, Mahu Datim, what would you have thought? Rebbe Sapuke Misapkile, perhaps I would have thought that Rebbe is in doubt. I'al Ksav Yodam Hemi'idim, when witnesses show up, are they coming to testify about their signature? In which case, Rebbe say you need two witnesses per signature. Or perhaps they really are coming to testify about what? The actual transaction recorded in the document. In which case, all you need is each witness to come forward, and then that's two witnesses certifying that the transaction recorded in the document in fact did occur. So perhaps Rebbe is not sure about what the mechanics are exactly over here, and therefore, again, he requires just two per signature. The nafkamina would be, heichad demis chad min arba. So listen to this. The nafkamina would be in a case of where one of the witnesses died. So what would happen? Liboi shnayim min ashuk laha idalov. So then I would need, so in order to uphold his signature, so let's say Reuven and Shimon were the Edim. Reuven died. Now I need to do Kiyum Shtaros. So what do I have to do? I need two witnesses to go ahead and testify about the signature of Reuven. De'im, so the Gemara says, Liboi shnayim min ashuk laha idalov. De'im kain, Kanafik nichi riva demamona apuma dechad sahada. The Rabbi will say, now watch this. Now watch this. Take a look at Rashi over here. Benafkamina, Rashi says, Bein Safek Levadai, Lishnai Machasum Na Lashtar. Listen to this case. Rashi just explains the case. Reuven and Shimon signed on a star, Umeis Echad Mehen, and Reuven died. Tzarech Shnai Min Ashok Lahayid Alav. So remember, I now need two witnesses from the marketplace to testify about the validity of Reuven's signature. Ve'ein ze kashir lahayid al ksav yado va'al shal chaveiro uletzarif echad imo sheyayid al shteyen. Because both say, listen to this. So I'd say like this, well, what happens if Shimon happens to recognize Reuven's signature? So I'd say the easiest thing is like this. Let Shimon testify about his own signature, and then let him also what? Be one of the witnesses to testify about Reuven's signature, and just get one more from the marketplace. So the Gemara says you can't do that. Why? The Gemara says the Dilma Amana Shebishtar Hin Meidin, because perhaps again, because so that works fine if they're testifying about the validity of the signatures, but if they're testifying about the transactional accuracy of that which is encoded inside the shtar, you can't do that. Why? V'chi Omer Zek Sav Yadi Nafik Pagudim Amona Apume V'zeh Shemeid Imo Achasimaso Lo Ma'alev Lo Morid. Listen to this. Because if you hold, remember what the Gemara is saying, just follow the train of thought over here. So the Gemara is suggesting that the Machlok Sin Rabbi Nechachamim was about what happens when witnesses show up to go out and authenticate a shtar. According to the Chachamim, they're coming to authenticate the transaction. Therefore, as long as each witness says, this is my signature, you have two witnesses attesting that the transaction recorded in the document did occur. According to Rebbe, we're suggesting that each witness is coming to go ahead and authenticate a signature, in which case we need two Aiden per signature. The Gemara is suggesting perhaps Rebbe was Mesupak about which one it actually was, and therefore he just required two witnesses just to be on the safe, two witnesses per signature to be on the safe side. The Gemara said, what will be the Nafkamina? Listen to this Nafkamina. Two witnesses, Reuven and Shimon, signed on a document. Reuven died. So now, let's say Shimon comes along. Shimon says, that's my signature. Shimon, that's me. And by the way, I also happen to know that that's Reuven's signature. So now we have a very easy fix. We've got Shimon testifying to Reuven's signature, and all I need is what? One other person. Now, that is true. That is true, assuming that Kiyum Shtaris means the authenticating of the signatures. But if you hold the Kiyum Shtaris as an upholding of the actual transaction, then look what happens. When Shimon goes ahead and testifies that this is his signature, so he has just cemented 50% of the claim, right? Then what happens? If he goes ahead and testifies on Reuven's signature, and then there's another guy in Reuven, another witness on Reuven's signature, then it turns out that Shimon's testimony attests for how much of the validity of the claim? 75%. Well, see, you hear this? Meaning the idea is four witnesses, each one are responsible, so to speak, for 25% of the claim. The idea is that if Shimon is authenticating his signature plus one of the Edim on Reuven's signature, then essentially he's responsible for 75% of the validity of the claim. And the halacha is that's not how Eidos works. Eidos has to have shared responsibility in authenticating the claim. So the Gemara goes weiter.
Yes, Sein
Achinami, correct. That's ultimately what the Gemara actually, this sugya, this is not the real place of the sugya over here. The Gemara says, Jamak is talking about that in Eidos, we don't really look at it like that. Because if the other witness doesn't show up, there's no claim at all. But the Gemara is just talking, technically, he's bolstering his side, plus he's also bolstering the other side, which even if you stay away from percentages, what it just means is more than 50% of the Eidos is on his shoulders. So the Gemara says, therefore I might have said, therefore it turns out that 3/4 of the testimony is coming out from one witness. So I would have thought, therefore Rebbe is machmir, and therefore Rebbe just requires two Eidim all the time to authenticate each signature. Kamash Molanda, that's not the case. Kamash on the Rebbe, Mifshat Pshitalei, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. Therefore, the Gemara answers that's not true. Rather, Rebbe holds his position, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. Meaning, I will say that Rebbe's whole chap over here is that when witnesses show up, they're coming to authenticate their signature. And therefore, again, you need two witnesses per signature. And Rebbe holds that way, whether that translates into a situation that's a kula, a leniency, or a chumra, a stringency. Da amar Rav Yehuda, amar Rav, because Rav Yehuda said, name of Rav, shnai machasum min al ashtar, if two witnesses signed on ashtar, umeis echad mehem, and one of the witnesses died, tzrichim shnayim min ashuk lahaid alav, you need two other people from the marketplace to go ahead and testify about the dead witness's signature. And meis echad mehen, tzrichim shnayim min ashuk lahaid alav, Bazu Rebbe Lakula. And Rabbo said, in this case, Rebbe would be Lakula and Rabbanon Lachumra. The Rabbo said, why would it be a Kula for Rebbe? Because Rebbe would hold, let's say again, Rabbo say, same thing in this case, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven dies. So what would Rebbe hold? Rebbe would hold that Shimon could be one of the Edim on his signature. And what? Also one on Reuven's signature. As opposed to in this case, the Rabbanon would hold that you require two other individuals from the Shuk to testify about Reuven's signature. But if there are not two witnesses, but only one, what do you do? Amar Abaye. So we'll say, listen to this. Look at Rashi for just a moment. So we'll say, listen to this. So now, remember, this is still the case where Reuven died, and therefore I'm going to require two witnesses to go ahead and uphold the testimony of the dead witness. The issue is, Rashi says again, So let's say again, let's take a step back for just a moment. So here's what we've established. According to the Rabbanon, when Edim show up to go out for Kiyam Shtaros, so what are they accomplishing? According to the Rabbanon. Good. They are authenticating signatures. That was a 50-50. Good. Excellent. Right, good. So they're authenticating their signatures. That's according to Rebbe. I'm sorry. You were wrong. Yeah, but I was wrong with you. Right? So according to Rebbe, they are coming to go ahead and authenticate signatures. According to the Chachamim, what are they coming to do? They're coming to go ahead and authenticate the transaction. So we'll say, now here we go. So therefore, in a case where you have one of the witnesses who died. So according to Rebbe, where they're coming to authenticate the signatures, there's no problem if the surviving witness authenticates his signature, plus has a hand in authenticating the signature of the dead witness. According to the Chacham, however, that is a problem. Why is that a problem? Because it's what we said before. Because if you have one witness authenticating his signature, plus authenticating the signature of the dead witness, then what? Then too much of the financial claim rests on the shoulders of one witness. So now the Gemara says, well, what happens in the following case? Reuven died. And the problem is what? Rashi says, Elachad, you don't have two witnesses to authenticate Reuven's signature. Rather, you have one, and the only other witness that could authenticate Reuven's signature is who? Is Shimon. But the problem is, according to the Chum, you can't do that because then too much of the financial claim rests on the shoulders of one witness. So what do? Well, so listen to this. This is so interesting. Rabbi, here's what you should do. Lichtov chasim chaspa. So Shimon, the surviving witness, should write his signature on a piece of shard, on a pottery shard. V'shadi lei bebeidina. Literally, he should throw it into Beis Din. I will say, he doesn't have to throw it into Beis Din. The idea is, he leaves it in Beis Din. U'mechanski lei bebeidina. V'lo tzorech ihu la'asudi achasim. Listen to this. So what do? So Shimon writes his signature on a pottery shard. He leaves it in Beis Din. And hopefully, if someone in Beis Din is able to say, oh yeah, that's Shimon's signature, then I will say, turns out what? They could authenticate Shimon's signature on the shtar without what? Without Shimon's own testimony. Therefore, va'azel ihu v'hai umisadi. In other words, what the Gemara essentially suggests is that we try to go ahead and be mekayim Shimon's signature without having to rely on Shimon to attest to the fact that this is his signature, which means he's not giving edus about his signature. If he's not giving edus about his signature, then it frees him to do what? It frees him to give edus on Reuven's signature and be mekayim Reuven's signature. It's amazing. So the Gemara says, however, listen to this, V'dafka chaspa. But it's interesting that the Gemara says that we only want him signing on a pottery shard. Why not anything else? Avala Magiltalo, we don't want him putting his name on a piece of parchment. Dilma Mishkach Le'inishtalo Ma'ali, because they will say, what are we concerned about? It's dangerous, right? If you go ahead and you sign your name on a piece of paper, then what could happen? Anyone else, a blank check, right? Anyone else could go in and write whatever they want on that piece of paper, and you've signed on it. I see, you'll say to yourself, but who cares? It's an eid echad, right? What are you going to do with a piece of paper that has my name on it? Oh, I'll tell you. The Gemara says, a person who's not upright will find it. V'kasevili, and write a shtar on it. My debay, whatever he wants. So tonight we learned, hotzi, I love ksavya dushu chayiv lo, gove menichse b'nei chorin. They will say, if you find the shtar in my handwriting that says, I am chayiv to you something, then what? That allows the creditor to go ahead and collect. In other words, Rabbi say that even though normally you need two witnesses on a shtar, but at the end of the day, a shtar in one's own handwriting is powerful as well. Again, it doesn't allow you to collect from what's called nechasim mishubadim, encumbered property, but it does allow you to collect from unencumbered property. Therefore, signing your name on a piece of paper and allowing that paper to circulate gives someone the opportunity to write, as I signed Shmuel Silber, you could find that piece of paper and write, right? I borrowed $2,000 from Reuven, signed Shmuel Silber, and don't get any ideas, Ted. I see you. I see the light bulb going off over there. Right? So then again, Lemaisa, that allows a creditor to go out and collect money. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Halacha k'divrei chachamim. So Rabbi Yehuda said, the halacha follows the chacham rabosai. That's what? That when Edim show up to authenticate a shtar, what they're really doing is they are testifying about the validity of the transaction, in which case all you need is each aide to go ahead and testify about his own signature. But Lamaise, again, if an aide can't testify about his own signature, then what? Then you require two witnesses to testify on the signature. And if somebody's upholding their own signature, one of the witnesses upholding his own signature, he can't testify about the signature of the other. So Gemara says, Pshita, it's obviously halacha v'azacham. Yachid v'ram alach k'ram. We have a general principle in halacha that whenever you have a dispute between an individual and a collective, the halacha always follows the collective. So why do we even have to say it? Mountain, what I have thought, halacha krabi mechaviro. I feel mechavirov. I have another rabbi say there is a general, another principle. The principle is that the halacha always follows Rebbe over his friend. In other words, that generally when Rebbe is in a machlokes, the halacha follows Rebbe. I might have thought that it's not just the halacha is like Rebbe mechaviro when he's arguing against another individual, but perhaps what? Mechavirav. Meaning maybe the halacha follows Rebbe even when he is arguing against a group of people. Kamash Molando, that as great as Rebbe is, when he is on the other side of the majority carries. Salocha follows Chachamim. Amrali Rav Chinina Bar Chiyah Rav Yehuda, Va'amrali Rav Huna Bar Yehuda L'Rav Yehuda, Va'amrali Rav Chiyah Bar Yehuda L'Rav Yehuda. Suppose someone said to someone, Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi, did Shmuel really say this, that the Halacha follows the Chachamim? Is that really true? The Gemara says, Vahaha Hushtara, Dinafik mi beidina demar Shmuel. Listen to this. So there was a shtar. There was a document that came out of the Beis Din of Mar Shmuel, and it said the following: Mi da'asa Rav Anan Barchia, va'asid achasimos yadei. Now this is about to say. Now remember, what the Gemara is actually quoting over here is the text of what we call a Kiyum Shtaros document. Meaning, Abbo say, what's interesting is the following. We often think that as long as you have a document, that's the end of the story. But as we've already seen from our sugya, that's not really true, because documents can be contested. The only time that a document is ironclad is after you've gone through the process of Kiyum Shtaros. You've upheld the validity of the document. And as we've seen, there'd be an actual document attached to the document, an actual document attached to the shtar saying that we have upheld this document. So here is actually the text of the Kiyum Shtaros document. So mi da'asa Rav Anan Bar Chiya va'asid achasimos yadei va'adichad di'imei. Rav Anan showed up in Beis Din. This is the text of the document. And he testified about his own signature as well as the signature of the other one who was with him, meaning the other witness. And who was the other witness? Umanu, Rav Chanan Bar Rabba. What's Chanan Bar Rabba? Umid as Rav Chanan Bar Rabba va'asid achasim osedei. And Rav Chanan Bar Rabba showed up and testified about his own signature, va'adechad di'imei. And he testified about the signature of the other one who was with him. And who was that? Umanu, Rav Anan Bar Chiya. He testified about his own signature and the signature of the other, and therefore, ashrenuhi v'kai menuhi kidechazi. Therefore, we have certified and we have upheld this document as being accurate. So I'll say, what do you see from here? How did they do kiyam shtaros? Kiyam shtaros required two witnesses per signature. And even though here you had a case of where each person, each witness, was testifying about his own signature, we needed what? The other witness to testify as well. Who is that like? Who is that like? That's like Rebbe. So how could she, and remember, I'll say, remember, where is this happening? This is happening in the Beis Din of Shus. What's happening over here? This is outrageous. Right? Okay, good. All right, this is Mamish, right? This is outrageous. On one hand, Shmuel just said the halacha follows the Chachamim, namely that everyone is believed to certify and to testify about their own signature. And now Mamish, in the Beis Din of Shmuel, the document, we found the document of Kiyam Shtaros from the Beis Din of Shmuel, and he's requiring two witnesses per signature, like Rebbe. So what's going on over here? The Gemara says, no, don't get excited. Amar Yahu Shtara Diyasmi Hava. That Shtar that we're talking about was Shtar Diyasmi. Rashi says, Shehutzrach La'ayin B'takanosom. Shtar Diyasmi means this was a document that dealt with a business dealing with the property of orphans. Now, both say, now we will see, we haven't seen that as much in the sugyas that we've dealt with, but we'll see it in some of the more monetary focused mesechtas, that whenever it comes to the property of orphans, we go above and beyond to preserve the money of the estate for the orphans. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that this was a case, this shtar, dealt with property of orphans, v'chash Shmuel le'beis din toin. And Shmuel was concerned about a future beis din that may make a mistake. Now, what Shmuel was concerned about was on Shmuel nu halacha v'az chachamim. What Shmuel was concerned about is that some other beis din may think that the halacha follows Rebbe and therefore would not consider this document to be upheld because you didn't have two witnesses testifying about each signature. Therefore, in order to avoid any future beis din making any kind of mistake with the property of the orphans, Shmuel went above and beyond and was mekayim dishtar with two witnesses per signature. V'sarver Shmuel dilma ikas disfir lehalacha k'rebi mechaviro, because Shmuel felt maybe there'll be another beis din that thinks that the Lachva's Rebbe, even over the majority, v'lo mechavirav, u'baha afilu mechavirav. Right, I might have thought that normally the halacha follows Rebbe when he's disputing another, but not when he's disputing a group. But perhaps over here the halacha even follows Rebbe against the group. Therefore, ubaha afilu mechavirav savar i'avid revacha kiechi de la mafsidi yasmi. Therefore, Shmuel's logic was, let me go above and beyond, certify this shtar in a way that is beyond reproach according to any halachic position, and therefore the Yisomim will never run into any kind of trouble. Amra Yudam Shmuel, aid the Dayan Mitztarfin. Well, it's another interesting case. An aid and a Dayan, a witness and a judge, could go ahead and combine to testify about a shtar. Look at Rashi. Eid v'dayin, shtar shekasav bo henpek, v'chos muhadayana al henpek shalo, ula'achar zman kishot siyo hamava ligbos ir halo v'lomar mezuyafu, u'bo echad me'edi ashtar, v'heyed aksav yado, v'echad minadayana, heyed aksav yado, mitztarf l'achshiro. So we'll say, listen to this. So now in this case over here, you have a shtar. Narashi is pointing out that there's something called the henpik. A henpik ultimately is like a certification from Beis Din. So you have over here a certification that was signed from Dayanim. So in this case over here, you have a loan document that was paid up, but the creditor wants to try to collect again. So what happens? You have the Dayan certifying about his signature on the henpik, the aid certifying about his signature on the document. So the question, so the Gemara now says over here, they could combine to form a unit ultimately of Kiyam Shtaros. Because also remember, up until now, whenever we're speaking about Kiyam Shtaros, we're always speaking about from two witnesses. Now the Gemara is saying that even an aid and a Dayan, even the witness and the judge could come together for Kiyam Shtaros. Right, Bar Chama said, wow, that is such a great ruling. A little positive reinforcement. Amar Rava. Rava said, "My mal yusa. Why don't say what's so great about that? My de kamasid sada lo kamasid dayana. Or my de kamasid dayana lo kamasid sada." Rava says, actually, that makes absolutely no sense, and I'll tell you why. Look at Rashi. My de kamasid sada edi ashtar meidin amana shabishta kirabana vadana meidin befanei non iskayim. We'll say this is about two separate things. The henpik says what? The henpik essentially is like a receipt that's attached to the document, saying, or it doesn't have to be attached to the document, it's received that saying, we saw this loan paid up in Beis Din. It's executed in Beis Din. So you have a Dayan who signed on a henpik. You have an aid who signed on what? On a shtar, right? So the shtar testifies that what? The transaction occurred. The henpik testifies that what? That's what then it was paid. So the Gemara says, Rava says, what are you talking about? How could they possibly ever combine into a testimonial unit? Why? They're testifying about two different things. The dayan's testifying on his henpeck that it was paid. The aid is testifying that the transaction happened. Of course they can't combine. So the Gemara says, but rather what happened? When Rami Bar Yecheskel showed up, he said, listen guys, don't pay any attention to any halachas that Yehuda, my brother, says over in the name of Shmuel, because his teachings are all messed up. It's Amud Beis. It's nice, right? Ikla. It's nice. It's validating. Like families are families, right? So the Gemara says the following. So Ikla Rabbanoi Achud Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Lemizbon Shumshimi. So we'll say Rabbanoi, the brother of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, went to buy sesame seeds. What happened? Va'amar, and while he's buying sesame seeds, apparently he struck up a conversation in the marketplace. Va'amar hachi amar Shmuel eid v'dayin mitstarfin. What did Shmuel say? Shmuel said that a witness and a judge could go ahead and combine to form a testimonial unit. Amar ameimar kama ma'al yoha shmaita. Ameimar said, wow, that's such a nice ruling. Amar Ravashi ameimar. So Ravashi said to ameimar, I don't understand. Mishum dekalsa avua di'imach at nami mekales. It's like, because your maternal grandfather prays, because you'll also remember, ameimar's maternal grandfather was Rava. So because Rava praised this ruling, you're also going to praise this ruling. So the Gemara says, Kvar pircha Rava. Rava already refuted this ruling, that it doesn't make any sense, because they're both testifying about two different things, and therefore they cannot combine, so cut it out. So the Gemara says, so essentially, by the way, we pass kind of like the statement of Rava, meaning the statement of originally, of Rai Bar Chama, doesn't make sense. Because at the end of the day, you can't do Kiyim Shtaros from an aid and a dayon, when both really are testifying to two dramatically different things. So the Gemara goes, Vayta, Amar Rav Safra, Amar Rav Yaba, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Bar Shmuel, Bar Marta, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Shlosha, Shiyash, L'Kayim, Es Ashtar. Listen to this. So let's say you have a Beis Din, you have three men, that sat down to be Mekayim Shtar. Rashi says, Shlosha, Shiyash, L'Kayim, Es Ashtar. So three people formed the Beis Din to be Mekayim Shtar. What happens? Shnayim, Makirin, Chasimos, Yedei Eidim. So two of them recognize. So let's listen to this. So you have three Dayanim. Dayanim sit down, they're being Mekayim Shtar with Reuven and Shimon's signature, and it happens to be that Dayan A and Dayan B happen to recognize the signatures of Reuven and Shimon. Okay, ve'echad eino makir, but of course the third Dayan C, does not recognize any of the signatures. So what do we do in a case like this? So listen to this. Achelo chasmu, before they have signed, Narashi says, Hashnaim ala henpik. So also remember, henpik is this certification document that is written in Beis Din, to go ahead and, doesn't henpik, is there like a phrase like a word like that? What does it mean? Henpecked. Okay. No relation. Okay. Good. All right. It was my fault. I asked. All right. So the Gemara says the following. So remember, the Gemara says the following. So remember, so Rashi points out, so remember, two of A, Dayan B recognize the signatures, Dayan C does not. So what do we do? So Gemara is something very interesting. Achelo chasmu, before they've written the henpik, meaning before they've gone ahead and written the certification document, then Me'idin Befanov, witnesses A and B testify in front of C that they recognize the signature. So also we have now essentially Dayanim becoming Eidim. They testify in front of C. And then again, C has now heard testimony that the signatures of Reuven and Shimon are accurate. The Chosim, and then all of them could sign on the henpik. Rashi says, the Chosim imayim, amashe kosvin ashranuhi, the kaimenuhi l'shtar dinam b'mos of tlasa. So we'll say this happens to be, if you look at this Rashi, this is important. This is the text of a henpik. The text is, we have upheld, we've attested to the validity of the shtar dinan, of the shtar, shtar dinan, the mosif tlas in front of the three of us, de ashmudana de chasimas yada de sahadihi. We know that the witnesses who signed on this document are in fact true witnesses. So now you have the two testify in front of the third, then all three now are conversant in the fact that these are the real witnesses, and they can all sign the henpik. But if they already signed the henpik, then ein me'idin befanav. Then they are unable to go ahead and testify in front of the third. They are unable to testify in front of the third and sign. So the Gemara says, what? What does this mean? What this sounds like is that they actually wrote the henpik. They actually wrote the document of Kiyam Shtaros before the document was even upheld. Are you able to write the henpik before all the Dayanim actually know that these are the signatures of Reuven and Shimon? If a Beis Din writes a handpick, a sharta de daini is a handpick, a document of kiyum shtar, a document that attests the validity of the shtar, that the shtar was upheld. If you write that before witnesses give their testimony before the dayanim about the signatures, then such a document is possible. Why? The mechzik shikra, because it has the appearance of a lie. Why does it have the appearance of a lie? Because it is a lie. Because if you write it before, the Dayanim actually know that these are the witnesses of Reuven and Shimon. It's not going to say, you have to understand something. So the truth is, there'd be a big reason to do this. Why would there be a big reason to do this? Just so there shouldn't be a paperwork holdup, right? The idea over here is, I know how this is going to play out. Because the truth is, witnesses are going to come, they're believable people, so let me just write the shtar now. Let me just write the shtar now so that it's done. So after they give the testimony, we're ready to go. Now, of course, the danger in doing that is what? Is if for some reason you lose track of that shtar for some reason, you can get into a lot of trouble. Therefore, again, Chazal were always against writing shtaros that attested to events that did not yet happen, even if it was your intent just to be more efficient. So how can you say, therefore this price makes no sense. How can you say that the Beis Din is writing the Ashar, the Dedaini, the Henpik, the document of certification, before Dayan number 3 knows about the validity of the signatures of Reuven and Shimon? Ela Ema, rather say like this, Ad Shelo Kasvu, if they have not yet written the Henpik, then Me'idim Befanav Achosim. So we'll say, as long as the document, the henpik, the ashar to the dani has not been written, then the two witnesses go ahead and testify in front of the third. And then, the two dayanim testify in front of the third, and then all three could sign on the henpik. However, mishe kasvu, but once the henpik has been written, then ein me'idin befanav. Then we are unable to go ahead and testify in front of them anymore. V'chosem, and sign, shma mina tlas. So we learn from here three things. Shma mina eid na'aseh dayan. So the first thing we learn is what? That a witness can become a judge. Why, Rabosai? Because remember, after the two witnesses testify about the validity of the signatures of Reuven and Shimon in front of Dayan C, then what happens? Then, so to speak, the two Eidim then become two Dayanim. So number one, Eid can become a Dayan. Number two, Shema Mina, Dayanan HaMakirin Chasimis De Eidim, Enon Tzrich Alar Bifneim. Next, we learn that what if there are witnesses that recognize the signatures if there are judges who recognize the signatures of witnesses, there is no need to testify in front of them. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says, actually, I'm sorry, not yet. Ushmamina. Now what that means is that if there are Dayanim who recognize the signatures of the witnesses themselves, there is no need for another set of witnesses to come and to testify in front of the Dayanim. So the truth is, idea number two is, to a certain degree, a corollary of idea number one. That the idea is that the Dayanim can become Eidim, and Eidim could what? Could become Dayanim. Ushmamina, Dayanim Shein Makirin Chasimus De Eidim, Tzvichin Lahayir Bifnei Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Furthermore, we've also seen that if there is one of the judges, any judge who does not recognize the signatures, you have to give testimony in front of each of the judges. So we'll say, look at Rashi. Tzvichin Lahayir Bifnei Kol Echad Ve'Echad Shimei Eidu Bifnei Yishnaim. And I'm supposed to listen to this. I might have thought like this. If you have a Beis Din of three people, so the truth is, I would have thought that once two of them recognize the signatures, then what? Should be enough. Kamash, when we see from here what? Then no, each and every judge has to hear testimony about the signatures of the witnesses. So three takeaways we take from this particular braisa. Number one, that witnesses can become dayanim. Number two, that judges who recognize the signatures of the witnesses do not need any other additional testimony for certification of the signatures. And number three, every single judge must hear testimony about the authenticity of the signatures. Mask if they're Ravashi. So Ravashi raises a kasha. Bishlama eid nasa dayon. I understand if you tell me that a witness can become a dayon. Shaminan mina. So we heard that from that previous case. We did learn that out. Ela dayonen hamakirin chasimos de'a eidim. Ein tzrichin lahayid bifneim. But the case that we had before, that witnesses who recognize the signatures, excuse me, Diana Makiran Chasimos Ideidim, that the judges who recognize the signatures of the witnesses, Ein Tzrichin Lahaid Bifnehem, you need not give any additional testimony in front of them. How do I know that's true? Dilma Li Olam Eimalach Tzrichin. Perhaps you do have to give testimony in front even of the judges. B'shaini Hacha, this case is different. The Kaimakaima Hagoda Bechad. Because what happens? Because you are being, maybe every single Beis Din does have to hear from witnesses about the authenticity of the witnesses. But in this case over here, it's different. Why? Because one of the judges is in fact hearing from witnesses. Granted, those witnesses were former Dayanim, but that idea of how God is happening over here, the Dayanim Shein Makirin Chasimus De'edim Tzrichin Laharid Bifnei Kol Echad Ve'Echad. And now, which you said, the third thing, that Dayanim who do not go and recognize a signature of the witnesses, they each have to hear testimony. Perhaps I would tell you over here that normally they don't need that. The shiny hacha, this case is different. I mean, the case of Rice we quoted above, because I will say in this case over here, there was no Haggadah, there was no act of testimony at all. The Rashi says, "Ilo havu misadi ba'ape." If they were not testifying in front of him, Yosi Rabbi Abba v'ka'amar lo lahashmaita. So Rabbi Abba was coming along and saying over this particular episode, or saying over this ruling, excuse me, the aid na asad dayon, that the aid can become a dayon. So remember, the Gemara made three inferences from the case in the Braisa, and came along. Rav Ashi, and knocked out those inferences. Says those inferences may or may not be true. Fine. Now the Gemara is going to further dissect. So come along, Rabbi Abba came along and said, Rabbi Abba stated this ruling, that an aid could become a dayon, a witness can become a judge. Ace, Rav Safra, Rabbi Abba, so Rav Safra raised the kashan, Rabbi Abba, is that true? Listen to this case. Ra'ua shlosha, if you have three people who saw the new moon, they saw the new moon. Vehein Beis Din, so they can become a Beis Din. Ya'am Dushnaim via Shivu Mechaverin. So the problem is what? Is that you need a Beis Din in order to go ahead and establish the new moon. You need a Beis Din. So what happens? So three individuals see the new moon. So what do we do? Two of them essentially become witnesses. And they go ahead and they appoint two other people to sit with their third friend. Via idu bifneim, and then the two witnesses, just for clarity purposes. So you have Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, who all saw the new moon. So what does the Gemara say? We'll let Levi be the first of the Beis Din. Reuben and Shimon will be the witnesses. And they'll get two other guys to sit on the Beis Din with Levi. So the guys stand on the basin with Levi. They'll give testimony about the new moon. And then the Beis Din, which is Levi and two other guys, will go ahead and say Mekudash, that the new month is established. Because remember, an individual is not permitted to go to Mekadesh the Chodesh. You need a Beis Din. And if you would think that an aid can become a dayon, then lamali kulehai, then why do I need this whole thing? Meaning, if an aid can become a dayon, let's make it even easier. Leisvu biduchtayu velekachi. Then what's Rabosai? All three of these people saw the new moon, so they're witnesses. Witnesses can become judges. Let them also become the Beis Din, and what? Bimekadish the Chodesh. Why do you have to do this whole thing that they become witnesses? So the Gemara says, Amalei afle didi kashili. I had this same question. Ushi'ilti l'Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, and I asked Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, and Rav Yitzchak asked Rav Yitzchak Rafuna, Rav Yitzchak asked Rafuna, Rafuna l'chiyah bar Rav, so Rafuna asked Rav Chiyah bar Rav, v'chiyah bar Rav l'Rav, and Chiyah Rav asked Rav. No one knew the answer. Finally they came to the answer, v'amr l'hu, and they said, Hanoch le'edos ha'chodesh da'araisa, that you can't ask that question. Why? Because you're asking a question from Kiddush ha'chodesh. Kiddush ha'chodesh is da'araisa. Kiddush HaChodesh is Dor, excuse me, Eidos HaChodesh is Doraisa, the Kiyim Shtaras Terabanan. So I'll say, Twitch, the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. When we say that Eid and Asad Dayan, that is true. That is true where? By rabbinic testimonies. But when it comes to biblical testimonies like Kiddush HaChodesh, we do not rely on Eid Na'asad Dayon. And therefore, in this case, we have three people seeing Eidos HaChodesh, two of them become witnesses. One of them could be a dayon. We find two other people to be dayonim. They form a beis din. They are mekabel. They accept or they hear the testimony of the edim, and that is how they are mekadesh the chodesh. So we'll stop over here. So remember, just where we're ending off over here now is although we espoused three principles, we're focusing now just on the first of edna aser dayon. A witness can become a judge. And we've solidified is that is true in cases of rabbinic testimony, but not necessarily true in cases of biblical testimony. Shkoyach.